Hello, my name is Dr. Sandra Cabot and I'm here with naturopath Victoria Taylor and we're talking to you about your thyroid. Could your thyroid be sluggish? It's a common problem, isn't it, Victoria?
It is such a common problem. I see it in so many of my weight loss patients.
Yes, we do. And the signs of our underactive thyroid can be really quite insidious, very slow onset, gradual. And some doctors will say, well, you know, your thyroid function's still in the normal range and, you know, we'll wait till it fails before we do anything about it. But people can really battle with the symptoms for a long time and it can be treated, and really it should be treated, because the thyroid gland controls your metabolic rate and it really controls all the mitochondria in your cells. So it's very, very important to have it working at an optimal level.
Yes, and if you're waiting until it actually becomes a clinical case, you can be developing other illnesses while it's still subclinical.
That's
because
right.
Because putting on weight and even to get to diabetes.
Yeah, and high cholesterol. And we know that low thyroid can make fatty liver condition much worse, and it can affect your mental state so that your thinking is much slower, can make you depressed, tired. So typical symptoms of a sluggish thyroid is just feeling sluggish, feeling tired, puffy, putting on weight, constipation, dry skin, dry hair, hair loss, heavy bleeding. In women, their menstrual period becomes much heavier. They could become anemic from that.
Hair thinning. Now, isn't that a biggie?
Oh my goodness.
Hair thinning. How many people get upset about that one?
Yeah, that's right. We want your thyroid to be working really well if you want to have a healthy head of hair. And also, another thing can be puffiness of the legs. Now, Victoria and I were doing a bit of research and we found a really interesting medical paper from the year 1953.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's amazing what you find on the internet going back 1953. And this was a paper from the Royal Medical Benevolent Fund in England. And a lot of professors were involved. And they were talking about a condition called myxedema. And that's spelled M-Y-X-O-E-D-E-M-A, myxedema. And this was a sign of a low thyroid. And typically it was recognized by puffiness in the lower limbs. So from below the knee to the ankles, and it was particularly worse just under the knee on the inside and the outside of the upper tibia, which is the big bone in your lower limb. And this myxedema.
So on your shin, but on the inside of your shin.
Yeah, on the inside. Okay. It can be a little bit on the outside too, like on the whole upper tibia, but it can go down to the ankles. And it's not fluid retention, because when it's fluid retention, if you press it, it tends to leave a dimple, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But the myxedema is more like a solid induration or swelling of the subcutaneous tissues in the lower limb, in front of the tibia.
It doesn't sound nice at all.
No, well, it's inflammatory in origin.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that having a low thyroid can increase inflammation in your body, in your whole body. So this myxedema, is a sign you should definitely check your thyroid if you've got this thickening in your lower legs. And of course, you can test your thyroid accurately with a blood test. And if your thyroid stimulating hormone or TSH is above 4, then that's not ideal. You know, ideal is around 2.5, but it does fluctuate from time to time. Oh, the other symptom we didn't mention is puffiness of the face.
Oh, yes, just that general puffiness.
Yeah, general puffiness of the whole body and loss of the hair in the outer thirds of the eyebrows. The high cholesterol, we mentioned constipation, and just general sluggishness.
But when you're talking about puffiness of the face, that's separate to the puffiness of your lower eyelids that a lot of people experience.
Yeah, this is the whole face
yes.
and the upper eyelids as well. So have a blood test. And the other thing you can do is measure your body temperature before you get out of bed in the morning. And that is looking at your basal body metabolism or basal body temperature, which reflects your basal metabolic rate. And it's really important because your basal metabolic rate is going to determine how easily you gain weight or lose weight. So the basal body temperature is the lowest temperature attained by the body during sleep, and it's measured immediately after awakening and before any physical activity has occurred.
So you can't even get up and go to the loo?
No, you can't.
It has to be right as soon as
you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in people with an underactive thyroid, the body temperature falls below normal. An overactive thyroid elevates the body temperature. So sometimes people with a real overactive thyroid have a low-grade fever. Now, the metabolism in your whole body is completely dependent on enzyme function, and enzyme function is highly dependent on your body temperature.
Oh,
yeah.
Round in circles.
Yeah, so if your body temperature is too low, all your enzyme functions slow down, so your whole metabolism slows down. Now, if your basal body temperature is below normal, the enzymes in every cell of your body will be working too slowly.
A bit like getting a 25-metre handicap in a 100-metre race.
That's well said, yeah. So measuring your basal body temperature can pinpoint a thyroid problem even if your blood tests for thyroid function look normal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because, you know, even though your thyroid gland could be producing the right amount of thyroid hormone, it's not being converted in your liver to the active form, or it's being converted to the wrong shape, or you're selenium deficient. So, you know, there's so many factors. So the basal body temperature has got to be performed first thing in the morning when you wake up. And if we track it over 14 mornings, you can get an average.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's best to use a mercury thermometer, the good old-fashioned mercury thermometer.
Oh, my goodness, that they're a bit ancient.
Yeah, you can buy them.
What about an alcohol one?
I prefer the mercury one. Okay. They're better than the digital ones.
Yes.
Yeah. So try and get a mercury thermometer, because you can find them still in many pharmacies. So you have to shake it to reset it before you use it, get the mercury down, and you shake it after each recording in the morning, so that it's ready to use the next morning. And it can take quite a bit of shaking. Now,
okay, you can use those. Apparently there's those fertility thermometers, because they are really accurate.
Yeah, well, they'd be okay.
So
yeah,
they'd be very good. Yes.
Yes. So remember, you've got to take it immediately after awakening, as any physical activity can increase your temperature. So you place the mercury thermometer under your arm. Do not move or get out of bed before taking the temperature. Accurately record the reading so that we can look at it over 14 days. And if you're a premenopausal woman, it's important to only measure the temperature on the second, third, and fourth morning of the menstrual bleeding, because ovulation puts your temperature up, and it might give you a false positive reading that you got a normal metabolism. But for postmenopausal women and men, the temperature can be taken on any 14 consecutive days. Yeah, so a healthy normal body temperature in a human is considered to be around 37 degrees Celsius, which is 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. If your average basal body temperature reading is below 36.5 degrees Celsius, or 97.7 degrees Fahrenheit, then this is an indication that your thyroid could be underactive. The more your average body temperature is below 36.5 degrees, or 97.7 degrees Fahrenheit, the more your thyroid is underactive. Any average temperature below 36 degrees Celsius, or 96.8 degrees Fahrenheit, suggests that your thyroid is starting to become underactive. And definitely you would need to have a blood test for TSH. And hopefully your TSH will be around 2.5, But sometimes we see people where their TSH is 5 or 6 and they're told that that's still normal. But really, if they feel sluggish and they've got these symptoms of low thyroid, then they should look into, well, are they low in iodine? They could be low in selenium. So they could try taking the thyroid health capsules. And if they've got a fatty liver, they could try even a small dose of thyroid hormone, whether it be porcine thyroid extract or the synthetic thyroid. And it was interesting, wasn't it, Victoria, when we were looking at this paper from 1953?
Yeah,
what they used back then. Because predominantly they used porcine thyroid extract, which is just pig's thyroid, because pig's hormones are identical to human hormones.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Which is handy. Their progesterone is the same and all their enzymes are the same. So we're very close to pigs genetically. So they would use
the maybe porcine not genetically, thyroid. But enzymatically.
And hormonally.
And hormonally.
Yeah. That's right. Well, we're closer to monkeys, but,
yes,
you know, hormonally we are very close to pigs.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I like pigs.
I like pigs.
They're very
and pig
intelligent.
Milk. Well, pig milk is the closest to human milk, but I wouldn't like to be creating a milking machine for a pig.
No. With all that's interesting, isn't
it? It is. It's closer than camel milk, which is what they're using now for children that have got
dairy
milk,
allergy.
Dairy
yeah.
allergy.
Yeah.
Can't even take goat milk. They can
yeah.
take camel,
yeah.
but porcine milk, pig milk's better.
Mm. Mm. Well, they were using varying doses of porcine thyroid, and they were starting with a very low dose in people that had had an underactive thyroid for a long time. They would start with a very small dose because the patient would otherwise get side effects.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then they would build up to between 100 to 200 milligrams of porcine thyroid extract daily. But interestingly, 65 milligrams of pig's thyroid extract is equivalent to 100 micrograms of synthetic thyroid hormone.
Right.
Or T4.
Okay.
And today, we still use pig's thyroid extract in people that cannot tolerate synthetic thyroid hormone. And some patients can't tolerate synthetic thyroid hormone. They don't feel well on it. So they can always use the pig's thyroid extract and they usually get very good results. So back in 1953, the symptoms were the same, but the treatment was a little bit different.
Yes, apparently from this article, it says that the artificial hormone was just a few years earlier, so it
yeah.
may have been very early 50s or late 40s
yeah.
when the synthetic hormone was developed, and
yeah.
the hormone is such a simple one.
It is.
It's quite surprising.
Yeah, thyroid hormone is very simple. It's made from tyrosine, iodine, and it needs selenium to work. So a very simple protein hormone, but yet a deficiency of this hormone is very common.
Definitely.
And thyroid disease is the most common autoimmune disease of all. So there you go. It's interesting to know about your thyroid, particularly if you're struggling with your weight, lack of energy, puffiness, etc. So, Victoria and I hope you have enjoyed this podcast, and feel free to send us an email if you have any questions.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for listening.